Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. This is my Sunday night reaction to the happenings that were week 12. So a bunch of games on Thursday, obviously, with Thanksgiving. That slate was enjoyable, fun to watch, and especially the later games. The first one a little rough, but the Dallas game, I think it was the most watched regular season game in like 30 years or some crazy thing. It was wildly wildly watched and a good game. And then you get the nightcap of the Bills, you know, taking care of business. So it's interesting. The Bills and the Pats will be meeting up on Monday Night Football. And, Bills on long rest. And obviously the Pats will be on the Sunday to Monday rest schedule. So be interesting to watch here going forward. I am looking forward to that next week. Also looking forward to Alexander Mattison week, perhaps. Delvin Cook. And I'll be honest, I thought when he went down that it was a leg injury, because like the way he was getting bent, I was watching it. One of my proudest moments as a parent happened today when my daughter was like, "Fire and football day, fire and football day." Like we wanted to make we usually make a fire in the fireplace and then just throw a red zone on and do whatever we're going to do. And, she's like, "Fire and football day, fire and football day." It's like, "Yes, Gracie, yes." That's what we'll do. So we're working on the fire, and I just look up and I see Dalvin Cook, and I just see his like the way he got hit, and I just, oh no, and the way he was gonna bend, and then he was like on the ground, and I was like, oh, it looks, I thought it was a leg, just, and you know, and then it was a shoulder chest type deal. So there's been a multitude of different analyses, I guess. And Dr. Chowd initially expressed concern about a torn pec. I think that has been tamped down a little bit. Some of the official media stuff the media reports that have leaked out, I guess, about the injury from team sources and all that sort of stuff suggests it's actually a dislocated shoulder. So that'll be... he has had multiple shoulder injuries in the past. I'm not sure if it's the shoulder, and I'll have to find out a little bit more of that. I think that information will come forward here early this week, I would guess. And the initial look is probably like, you know, he's going to get an MRI tomorrow, and maybe we'll have a better understanding, better idea. This is like a multiple week injury, and the attempt is to try and stabilize it. That's what, according to Dr. Gene, my colleague at Football Guys, that's sort of his thinking on it. So they do have a bye upcoming as well. They don't have a bye upcoming. I'm sorry, they don't have a bye upcoming. I was incorrect. They've already had their bye. So you do have a stretch here of games that it'll be interesting to see how much time Madison gets. Madison's big start early in the season came against Detroit. 25 carries, 113 yards, 7 receptions, 40 yards, and a touchdown. That was week 5 against Detroit. Who is week 13 against, you ask? Funny you should say, Detroit. Third best run matchup for running backs of the week. Upcoming here. So this could be a good situation here for Madison. They're a 7-point road favorite is the initial line that is posted, which I'm surprised it's that low, to be honest with you. So we'll be watching that on the Dalvin Cook recovery angle. I have Dalvin Cook in a handful of spots. This isn't going to help his offseason costs. I can tell you that, I don't think. He keeps getting banged up and not really performing super well. And as you age, like, you kind of have to beat that age curve back with some really high-end performances, and he's not doing that. So it'd be interesting to see what this all happens to his workload. But listen, 32 touches for Madison. Alexander Madison 3 is in full effect. Kenny Ngakoue, I think, is probably your add if you're looking to add someone here as a backup to Madison here during the week. A couple other ones of note. McCaffrey was spotted in a walking boot. There was the thought that his ankle was actually a low ankle sprain, so not the dreaded high ankle sprain. Not a ton of concern is sort of the word out of Carolina. He have a week 13 bye, so he has time to get back and potentially play. Again, Chuba Hubbard is going to be your injury way guy there. I think you collect that. Any shares, rogue shares that are out there. You know, he could have been the potential cut before the bye week scenario for people. I didn't do any of that, but I could see him potentially being out there. You know, he's one that you definitely want to hold through a bye week coming up. And if he's not out there, collect it. If he is not rostered and is out there, collect any rogue shares that you can get. Couple of performances to celebrate as well. Cordarrelle Patterson back, 16 carries, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 for 27 through the air. So running back 1 type production. It would be even higher if not for Leonard Fournette. 17 for 100, 3 touchdowns, 7 for 31 and a touchdown. 4 touchdowns, 131 yards, 24 touches. Smashing success. That's like Jonathan Taylor level of performance. That's just taking it to a whole another level. I'll be interested. I think the big, like, I'm going to be fascinated by where he goes next year. And he's one of the classic people that has been overrated by or underrated by Dynasty, and really in a treated differently than he really warrants. So I think he is just overperforming. Players, like, he ranks fifth at the position in points. And this is as of, you know, I'm recording just a little after one. I don't know if the Sunday night games have actually posted yet. Or the Sunday night game, I should say, has posted yet. I don't think it has in terms of the scoring. So, but I don't think it's going to matter. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't affect Fournette even if Chubb posted. So fifth in scoring. There's guys a little bit behind him that jump up ahead of him in terms of per game stuff. So when you look at it, like, Henry would be ahead of him. Cordarrelle Patterson would be ahead of him in per game scoring. Kamara as well. So when you look at that, it puts him like eighth or ninth. I think, you know, of guys that have played basically like 8 or more games. Just a smashing success. So in terms of receptions at the position, he ranks tied for third. DeAndre Swift, Najee Harris, Austin Eckler, Leonard Fournette. The three guys above 50. No one else has more than 43, and that's Myles Gaskin. So even the converted wide receiver, Cordarrelle Patterson, only has 41. So when you look at this, he's just in a rare era at this point. And I was joking that I actually left him. I left him on the bench in one league, and it was for A.J. Dillon. Again, A.J. Dillon didn't sink me, but it would have been nice to have Fournette. And I joked that I needed to spread the ball around and get, you know, Dillon some work in a week that he was up and getting some work. I needed to get him in the lineup to spread the wealth. He came through a little bit, but not to the level of Fournette. So I think Fournette in the offseason is just going to be a fascinating thing about, you know, where he goes, if it changes. And he's like almost the running back version of Cooper Kupp in terms of like huge breakout later in your career when you typically don't see guys rise up in, you know, in valuation. Again, he's not even that old, right? This is his age 26 season, but 26 for a wide running back is somewhat similar to where Kupp is in terms of his late 20s at wide receiver. Like, those are, that couple of years is kind of in sync there, at least perception-wise in the market. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, if he posts a top 5, 6, 7, 8 finish, something in that range, where he goes. And you just look at the guys that are after him. Like, Swift is banged up. Elliott's banged up. Connor's probably not going to elevate, I wouldn't imagine, that high. Aaron Jones is a little bit of committee share. Kamara is hopefully going to be back this week. And then you're getting down to, that's the top 12. And then you get Darrell Henderson, Myles Gaskin, James Robinson, some of the guys after. It's not even clear who's a direct threat to really come up. And you know, I think Fournette could actually go up, right? Him and Harris are right together essentially, in terms of points. But yeah, he's a top 10 outcome, assuming he's healthy. Is, I'm not going to say it's a foregone conclusion, but it's almost going to be tough for him to not accomplish at this point. So really, really good performance here for Fournette. Happy to see it. Other one that's fascinating, Joe Mixon, running back 3. Austin Eckler, running back 2, by the way, and Jonathan Taylor, running back 1. So if you had that as a, you know, as a three horse race on your betting tickets, yeah, not the trifecta that many people picked. So a notable accomplishment there for Mixon with a really late season, you know, late career breakout. I would also say though that when you look at this, the top guys in the top 12 right now, you know, you got Henry, you got Kamara with 8 games. Cordarrelle Patterson missed 1. Everyone else has got 11 or 12 games. So much of what happens is volume. Again, when you sort of look at, this isn't looking a gift horse in the mouth on Mixon, but when you look at these guys, if you play all the games, you're going to aggregate. I mean, heck, Myles Gaskin is running for 3.5 yards per carry and has 42 receptions for 212 yards, which if you're doing the math at home, it's not good in terms of your actual, in terms of your yards per reception on that. It's less than 5. So Myles Gaskin with those stats, running back 14. So again, he's got 7 touchdowns, which is fine, but running back 14. Again, he's played 12 games. That's sort of what gets you. Again, he'll come back to the pack. James Robinson's played 2 less, and he's got the same amount of points. So when you look at it from the end of the season, how they aggregate up, just play all the games, and you're almost going to be a top 15 guy, assuming you're a starter. One other situation I do think is worth noting is Dontrell Hilliard went for 13 touches, went off in this game. However, I do think it's worth noting they went super run heavy. It was a very, very run heavy approach. I think Tannehill only threw it something like 21 times, and that's basically the amount of touches that Deontay Foreman had. 19 carries on his own, and then you had Dontrell Hilliard had 12 carries for 131 yards and a touchdown. He also added 1 reception for 2 yards. So I think it's worth noting he had a big performance in terms of some of the yards and the touchdown. But it's actually Foreman with the really high volume. So I think Foreman's still the guy to own. And I mean, I think you can, I'm not sure you're going to feel confident starting Hilliard going forward, but I think it's officially interesting. But I do think Foreman is the one I feel the most comfortable about at this particular point. So that is pretty much the big storylines to, I think, watch for here over the, you know, over the next few, you know, the next couple of days, I guess, here, next, you know, a few hours to days here as we sort of look along. Again, things are going to ramp right back up on Thursday night with some fantasy, high-end fantasy guys with Dallas and, you know, to a lesser extent, the Saints, but Kamara certainly qualifies as a high-end fantasy guy, and we'll be watching there for that. It's also worth noting Landry in a game that was just horrible performance from Baker Mayfield. Landry has totally stayed relevant and impactful in the offense, he's a dependable option in that offense. And you see him come out this week post break 100 yards, and you know, I think with not a whole lot of other weapons around him, I think Landry is going to be really Landry's really going to have the ability to make a difference. As from that wide receiver 3-4 type cost that you got him for early on, and for wide receiver 2 type production. Again, I think you'll be able to sort of get that. I'll have more breakdowns and stuff with the target share and everything once we get all the data and do snap reactions and all that stuff. But he goes 6 for 111 on 10 targets. That's out of 34 targets, so almost a third of the offense running through him. And it is 111 out of 247 in the air. So that's 45% of their passing offense through Landry. So, and he 6 of their 18 completions. So he did have a fumble on this weird passing getup that was pretty wild setup. So I wouldn't necessarily read too much into that. But he's a player in the what I would consider like the analytics dynasty player pool, right? The you know, I did the DFS show for Football Guys over the weekend, and you know, I was discussing about, you know, they were like, hey, in contests and stuff, like, we have any advice on, you know, and strategy selection and stuff, and I said, just to understand who's going to be in the player pool of these people, right? If you're dealing with a whole bunch of AOD subscribers, like, it, that player pool is going to look different than if you're going someplace else. You know, I think Landry is probably a guy that's in our player pool, maybe a little bit more than the other ones. But when you slot him in for this week, like, it's really high-end wide receiver 2 type production with his, basically, depending on how you score the fumble, 17, 16 points thereabouts. So that's right in the wide receiver, high end wide receiver 2 landscape without a touchdown. So you'll absolutely take that. So he's one. Odell Beckham Jr., big performance here as well. He's a top 12 guy. Hey, Van Jefferson, wide receiver 13 on the week, pending the Sunday night and the Monday night scores. He rings the bell for a touchdown. The other one it's worth noting is Debo and his groin injury. It looks like he came out early on before it really got bad. Was sort of his, I felt a twinge basically, and I stopped before anything, you know, was going to be bad, was essentially what his quote was. So hopefully that he'll be good here going forward. So that'll pretty much do it. Not that anyone cares, but I had a good week in Scott Fishbowl again this week. Wish that I had Kendrick Bourne. I didn't. I had Cedric Wilson and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I'm going to add back in Madison, so that'll be interesting. So that'll give me the ability to pick from Eckler, Harris, Jacobs, Madison, Elijah Mitchell, Swift as my running back core. I also got Burkhead and DJ Dallas. I got some other guys that are injury away guys. But that Madison thing could really tilt the landscape. I got to get back Amari. I got Cole Beasley at receiver. That's totally the receiving core. That's just a total wasteland. I had Robert Woods. If I had picked Cooper Kupp, I'd probably be in first place in the whole thing. But these are the mistakes that we have to deal with. So, but hopefully the running back depth will come in for me here down the stretch, and we'll be able to make a run. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I figured I'd drop that in there. I am in 24th place and hoping to go up this week. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.